I'm William Porter, age 26, and today's date is March 21st, 2018, in Portales, New Mexico, and I'm here with my wife, Estrelita.
I'm Estrellita Porter. I'm 23. Today is March 21st, 2018, in Portales, New Mexico, and I'm here with my husband.
Okay, so I'm glad we're here doing this. And I feel like we just need to just sit down and just talk like this. I want to get our story out there, because I think we're in this generation that we're growing up in right now. We're pretty much next in line to be a part of this society. So I just really want to talk about our marriage and what you think of it. And I really want to have fun with this. I'm just gonna bounce around here and just ask what your earliest memory was as a child. That one really stuck out to me.
Of my childhood, I don't know. I guess it's not probably the earliest, but the first one that comes to my mind is one Christmas when I was younger, or I was a child. We were passing around gifts, and I didn't buy any gifts because I didn't have money, obviously. And so I wrapped up my mom's Jackie Chan movies. And I wrapped them in gift wrap and gave them to her for Christmas. And my mom was like a really serious person and didn't really joke around or anything. And she was just dying laughing about it for some reason. It wasn't even that funny if you think about it, but it like really made her laugh.
I'm gonna ask, how did you know that I was the one? That's a marriage question here. So I just wanna know.
You
I
sound
really
like a talk show host.
never asked that before.
I don't really know how I for sure knew, but whenever we first started dating when we were younger, I don't know, I just decided that this was the one, and I decided to stick with it no matter what. When we met, like for anybody listening, we met when I was 13 and he was 15. And so we've been together pretty much since then, off and on.
I remember we finally tied the knot in 2012, 20, yeah, 2012.
You better remember him.
There you go. I like that. I'm starting to come out of the shell there. That's my goal. Are you proud of me as a husband all these years? I really just wanted to know.
Completely, of course. If I wasn't proud, I wouldn't be married to you.
Can you talk about why you're proud of him as
I don't know. I guess because I know a lot about you and your family and stuff, and I think that you have overcome a lot of things that a lot of people wouldn't guess. And I think that you are completely different. You've kind of broken the chain that you came out of, and you're completely different from your parents. Not saying that they're bad at all. I love my in-laws, but I'm saying you've decided how you want your family and you've stuck it through, and I think it's really benefited me and our kids.
And I'm gonna just go to our kids, and this one's gonna be specifically about our daughter Ellie. She is 5. Would you want her to have a husband like me when she grows up?
Yes, of course. I think that an important question. I read a quote one time saying that if you're to your son, that if your son is dating a girl, he needs to imagine his daughter dating that girl and if he was happy or not. And if he wasn't happy, then he needed to change how he was. And I think it applies the same with the daughter, that I would want her to be with somebody that I would want to be with.
I would definitely want him to be better than me, because I know how I was growing up as a teenager. But anyways, What's one of your favorite stories about our kids, either one, Liam or Ellie? And by the way, Liam's he's 2 years old.
Mm-hmm. Man, I have to think about that one. There's a lot. They're both crazy kids. Can we do a different one first?
Yeah. If you want, do you want to ask me anything?
What's your favorite memory of the kids?
Oh, my favorite memory is when we went to Coronado Island off the coast of San Diego. That was a blast. I felt carefree when we were there, and I do miss it, and I do plan to go back.
I remember it was Liam's birthday, and he would go by the water, and then when the water would come back, he would run away every time. Yeah. And the whole time he just spent chasing seagulls.
Actually, I was just thinking about that the other day, because my coworkers were talking about seagulls and how they would just swoop down and take their food, because one of them went to vacation somewhere out there by the beach. And
all the seagulls stayed away from our stuff, though. Yeah. Because of Liam.
They did. But if you just picture, like, a 60-year-old man, very conservative, grew up out in the country, talking about this biker, you know, long hair, has the shades on and the Harley Davidson on. He had your dad's build. And he was a slim build type person. And he's like our friend Marie. He just talks about a story and keeps going on about it and gets sidetracked. But anyways, if you can just picture him just telling the story. And he was talking about, because he doesn't go out much. He was talking about eating seafood, and he was talking about eating sushi and a live octopus, and he said, "I would never eat that." And he complained and used a provocative language at one point, and I thought it was funny, not because of the provocative language, but how he was explaining it, because he was making hand gestures. And but I want to answer this question. My earliest memory here was me in, I think, my parents' room, and I was messing around with their bookshelf, and I found a Bible in there, and I couldn't even read yet, but I just remember this. And I went into the closet, into their closet, I turned the light on, and I was just flipping through the pages. And that was basically like the introduction of my Christian religion. And now we are very devout Christians in our church. And it's just funny to me how God just reached out like that. And it was a King James Version Bible, Holy Bible. And it's just... it's not a coincidence that now I'm actually living the Christian life.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my earliest memory as a child.
What does living the Christian life mean to you, or mean to you as a family?
That is a... 'cause there's really a lot behind it, and the way that I was brought up, I was brought up a Trinitarian Christian, and because people just think there's just one Christian faith, and there's actually multiple faiths of Christianity, and we are Pentecostal apostolic Christians. We believe in the being baptized in Jesus' name, receiving the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues, and obeying the word of God, and getting and just living what the word of God says in the King James Version, Holy Bible is really the book that we stick to.
I mean,
go ahead.
We read other, we're not necessarily just saying that we just believe that the KJV is completely right, but it's just the version of the Bible that our church necessarily uses most of the time, because it's closer to as original as you can get without it being completely misunderstandable.
Mm-hmm. And so the Word of God says you can't lie, cheat, or steal. You got to love your neighbor. Don't covet your neighbor. Don't covet your neighbor's wife. And, you know, there is room for mistakes as long as you're willing to change and come back from your downfalls. And that's really, you just have to let God do the work in your life. You can't do it on your own. That's one thing I always remember, because you're always going to struggle with your carnal flesh versus your soul. There's going to be basically a match between your flesh and your spirit. And so what works is prayer and fasting for that, because you got to ask God daily for his blessing.
Yeah. A lot of people probably think that, and it's funny because we were just coming in here and we didn't know what we were going to talk about, but maybe like a lot of people think that we're like those crazy Christians that are like, we'll throw a Bible at you and we'll like burn you at the stake or whatever.
We'll damn you to hell.
But it's not true at all.
That's
like,
not.
I don't want anybody to think that we hate them because of what we believe or anything, because we don't. We're not like that kind of Christian.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people think that because of like maybe our standards, because we only wear skirts or like, you know, like maybe more traditional standards, but just because we have more traditional standards doesn't mean that we're not acclimated to the modern world, where we are just like how people sometimes see like the crazy, sometimes the craziest of the Christians are the ones that get the most media. Sometimes, not all the time. But I don't want anybody to think that either.
Right. But actually, it's funny that you say that, because was it Kim Davis? Was that her name? Who got the media when it came to our faith? Because she wouldn't sign something for gay marriage or something like that. But that's really the only thing that's...
I mean, she was like, quotations, apostolic or whatever,
right.
But...
Yeah, we don't know her, like, personally. Or...
I don't even know why we're doing that.
But...
We're, like, trying to justify ourselves or something. But, I mean, she was, like, of the same faith, but maybe to a more extreme point than we would have done media-wise and stuff.
Would have done that? If you were in her spot, or would you just quit your job and just attract the attention?
I don't think I would have, because I have no problem. It's hard to say, because I have relatives who are gay and stuff, and just because I like think that it's not how I would do stuff, then I don't want them to think that I don't like them or anything. But if I was in that situation, I would have just, to respect them and to respect my belief, would have just had somebody else do the process and everything would have been fine. So then it's a win-win situation.
True. I don't know if that was the case there.
Because I think it just caused more hate than anything else.
Yeah.
But I think it's fine if people believe what they want to believe, as long as they're respectable to other people.
I can agree with that. Yeah.
I totally told you I didn't want to come in here and talk about politics.
That was just a question. But I love people. I'm with you on that one. I'll befriend everyone. At my job, I just It's usually men in their 60s going into their 70s, and we get along just fine.
Grumpy old men.
Even though my boss, I think he doesn't like the younger people, and I don't blame him, because we were raised differently. I mean, he was raised 10 miles west of town, not like out at Floyd. And I mean, the funnest thing you can do out there where he lives is hunt rabbits, shoot prairie dogs, and just be out there.
Spit in a bucket.
Yeah, no.
Well, I've lived here my whole life, almost, and I lived in Utah for a while, and then Willie has lived here for like 10 years or so.
11? It's going on 11 now. Wow.
He used to live in El Paso. So we've pretty much been here our whole lives. It's kind of funny because you said that it was coming here. I was like, why would they come here? But it's like Portales has been getting some recognition lately. Like, there's been a bunch of random things just coming here.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to come either because I was like, what are we going to talk about? We already know everything about each other. But I guess it is cool to, like, have it, like,
well, because this is our story, record. And that's what makes Portales so unique, is because it's a small town, but it's so diverse and full of rich culture. My wife is actually half Filipino, half Italian, and I'm actually full Hispanic, even though my name is William Porter. I inherited that name from my dad's stepdad, who he got his citizenship through, because he was actually born in Juarez, Mexico, and my mom was born in Chihuahua, Mexico.
Funny story that when Willie and I first started dating when we were really young, I made Willie believe that I was born on a boat for, like, until probably 3 or 4 years ago. I told him that I was born on a boat on the way to America from the Philippines. And for some reason, he never added up that, like, my dad would say that I was born at the hospital here or something, and he just never added it up, I guess. So he really thought that I was, like, an immigrant alien status for the longest time. And then I totally forgot I told him that, too. So one day he was talking to me about it, and I was like, oh, yeah, I was just kidding about that. I was born here in Portales.
Well, I believed you because some Hispanic women from Mexico are actually, when they come over here, they're actually pregnant and they have kids here in the U.S. and that's how they get their citizenship. And I thought that was a believable story. I pictured in my mind your mom giving birth to you on a boat, and the Statue of Liberty in the background as the boat comes in, you know?
I think you're thinking of Italians.
But it's your dad was Italian, so maybe she might have traveled here with your dad. I don't know. That's how I like to picture it in my head. I like to make up these.
You're putting these me crazy on the wrong scenes. Ocean. It's the Atlantic.
So you two said you met when you were teenagers. Can you talk about how you met and what drew you to each other? Tell each other.
Oh.
We met when I was 13 and he was 15, but I lied to him and I told him I was 14, about to turn 15. Because I really wanted to date him. And we actually, one of the first times we met was at a basketball game, and I was cheerleading, and we didn't really talk to each other or anything. And then we met again at a football game at the old stadium. And I actually brought my friend to meet him. She was dating him at the time. And I had no intentions of, like, because I didn't even know him. I just would make fun of him a lot. And I used to call him Willy Wonka, and I would yell at him from across the stadium, and he thought I was really annoying. And so then him and my friend dated for a little bit, and then he dated another one of my friends, and she was spending the night at my house, or they weren't dating, they were talking. And so she was like, here, you talk to him, for some reason. And then we started talking on the phone, and he started calling me. And then, so that kind of happened on accident, too. And then one day he just picked me up from school, and we started dating. We dated for a while, and then my mom got her cancer came back the second time, and so I moved to Utah that summer, and we dated for as long as we could, like long distance. We're in high school, so it was like it was hard to date long distance. And then we broke up, and I moved back not even a couple months later, and he was so mad because we had broken up already. And then we talked, and then he's dating someone else. We'd pretty much just go off and on until I was about 17. We would talk, and then we'd break up, and we'd talk, and we'd break up. And then whenever I was 17, we were like, for sure. And we got married right when I turned 18. And then we had our first baby. We had Ellie. And she was born in November of 2012. And, yeah, it was pretty much it. We've pretty much just known each other for a long time. So we've been married now 6 years. But we've been, like, together for, like, 10 years.
Yeah, since that spring of 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny how that series of events led up to that. Because when I saw her at the basketball game the first time, I thought, wow, she's really gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, I could never date a girl that gorgeous, you know. And, you know, the months went by and that relationship ended. But during that time at the football game, that was actually the
state game.
That was a state game in 2007. And she was there, but I just heard someone yelling, "Hey, Free Willy."
Oh, yeah.
And I never turned around to look who it was. And my current girlfriend at the time was just like, "Oh, that's just Esther. Don't mind her." I was like, "Yeah, okay, whatever." And I'd never even bother to look around and look, you know, and look at her. And it was that next year of that spring that me and her talked on the phone. And I didn't know if it was her or not. I wasn't sure if that was the girl I saw at the basketball game or the girl at the football game. And then finally, I picked her up for school one of those mornings. And we talked all night on the phone before that. And I was like, wow, that's really her. I was so excited about that.
I got in trouble for you picking it for school.
Yeah, I remember that. Our dear old Aunt Margie.
Yeah. Up until we got married, we were always getting in trouble.
Yeah.
Because my biological parents passed away when I was younger, where my mom did. And then so her best friend raised me, which she's like my mom because she's raised me since we were like 6 weeks old. I was 6 weeks old. And so in like our house, there's not really dating. It's more of like courting, so you don't really date anybody unless you have intentions on marrying them, and plus you need to have like chaperones and stuff like that. And so we never really followed those guidelines, and we would get in trouble a lot. And for a long time she wasn't too fond of you.
No, she wasn't. Now she is, because we gave her,
now she has to be.
Yeah we gave her
two
grandbabies,
which she's obsessed with.
Yeah, so she's, they're actually like, with her thing right now.
Yeah, they are. We're going to bring them. We're like, wait, how would that work?
No, we can't. We couldn't.
Yeah.
And be messing up all the equipment in here, dumping the water, and you know.
Our daughter is really good. She's
Liam.
Yeah.
That would be him.
She's like an ideal baby. Like, we got blessed with her, and she was really good when she was a baby, and she's just always been that way where you tell her once, and she's just like, okay, got it. And so I was like, yeah, let's have another kid. This is easy. And then we had Liam, and it's like we got all of her misbehavings plus his in one kid. And like, it just waited till we got to our second kid. And he's a crazy kid. He's probably the meanest kid in our church, and he's the youngest. He's always beating up everybody, always having to pull him off other toddlers, his cousins.
Yeah, when he was born, he weighed 10 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Even.
Yeah, he was the biggest.
He's a little tank.
Yeah. Well, not anymore. Now he's like, he's stretched out.
He's average now.
But when he was born, he was the biggest baby that day, the 10 pounds even.
Yeah.
And our doctor, actually, who delivered Liam, delivered me. Like, that's how small this town is. He delivered me, so he remembered, and he was like, they were all, everybody in the delivery room, I had C-sections for both, not by choice, but just had to, and they were all taking a guess on how much he was going to weigh, like a pull, and our doctor guessed it exactly. He's like, oh, no, he's going to be like 10 pounds, because I was, like, I was heavy, so he got it exactly right. He's a good doctor.
Do you remember, can you tell each other how you felt when you found out you were pregnant with each of your children?
Well,
remember each child.
Yeah, we do.
I do.
With our first baby, we were young, and weren't married yet, and it was.
But we were engaged.
We were engaged.
Yeah.
Secretly. And, I don't even know how much I want to say because our family's gonna listen.
I'll say it for you.
It's not even because they don't know. It's
she cried. I was happy, but that night we found out it was overwhelming. All my friends were happy.
I know. Okay, but you have to like picture. I
do, and I'm trying to be.
I was 17.
I'm walking on eggshells here.
It wasn't completely ideal. I was 17. We didn't know nothing about nothing.
Yeah.
We barely got a job, and
I was still in college.
Yeah. So, like, I was happy later on, you know, like, when we, like, settled down. But, like, because in my mind, I'm 17, like, oh, my goodness, my mom's going to kill me kind of stuff. And his friend was, like, kind of...
He was under the influence.
Yeah. So, you know, like, at that moment, I was a little overwhelmed, and I was, like, kind of crying and stuff. And Willie was really happy. And he just came, and he was, like... Oh, congratulations. I'm so happy for you and all this stuff. And I'm like, just like, oh my goodness, shut up. But then it would turn out to be the best thing that ever happened to us.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. But with Liam, we weren't really like planning either, but we weren't not planning. Like we weren't trying to prevent anything because our Ellie was already like 2.5. So I would want my kids distanced like 3 years apart just because I don't want to be like 10 years apart. And it was exciting. I think it was more exciting when we found out we were pregnant because we'd already kind of been through it. And this time we were financially stable. We were already married and we were just not kids anymore.
Right.
And I think more exciting when we found out he was a boy.
Yeah. I cried.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really wanted a boy and I got him. And now I'm kind of wishing, you know. Oh man, Ellie's way more easier.
Yeah, we really wanted a boy, and we got like a full-on boy.
Yeah,
he's like more than we can handle.
He's
sometimes.
He's a boy's boy.
He's but, more boy than
yeah.
You.
But with Ellie, I was excited, nervous. I kind of cried behind the scenes too because I was like, oh my gosh, I need to get a full-time job now. While I was going to school. And it got tough for a while, and so I had to drop out of school in my sophomore year. But I do have a 2-year degree now. Graduated from Clovis Community College last year in May, so that was that's one of my highlights right now. And I do plan to go back, maybe Eastern, but there's other online schools that are just as good and probably cheaper in tuition, but we'll see down the road. I haven't really picked a date for that, but I do want to go back and finish my bachelor's.
Can you remember what was going through your minds the first time you met each of your children, and can you tell each other what you were feeling?
Let's see. I know that we like cried at both of them. And with Ellie, it was a whole new experience. Like we've never, cause I mean, we've always had like each other, we've taken care of each other. And when we had Ellie, it was like an overwhelming of love, but also like, what do we do? we didn't know how to take care of baby. We're like, how do I keep this thing alive? Kind of thing.
I was happy, nervous, and scared because I was like in the operating room when they were doing the C-section. Got a big old curtain right there, and all I can see was, you know, from your shoulders and above.
Oh.
You know, and I was just like looking at you, and you know, when you're under the anesthesia and your eyes, you'd feel the pressure and your eyes would get big. And then I was like, man, she's like really heavily drugged right now. And
it was pretty cute though, because like they keep you awake, but they like strap your arms down and stuff. And we were already nervous because I was so young and we didn't have any family there with us at that time. And Willie would keep, when they were doing it, it takes like 30 minutes. And he kept like hitting my face on the side of my cheek, like, hey, don't go to sleep. Hey, are you still here? Look at me. He was just the whole time, like, just scared, you know, because C-sections can be a little scary. And the whole time was just like, hello, look at me. Don't look over there. You look like you're going out. It was pretty cute though, because it was like he was kind of scared.
I was telling you you were doing great though, right? I remember that.
Probably.
I was like, you're doing great, honey. You're going to do this. I love you.
Yeah. I feel like our experience with our daughter, every experience we had with the milestones with her through pregnancy and then through birth and everything, was always so nervous because it was our first with everything. My first pregnancy, like my first time delivering and stuff. So like hers is, I can always remember being so nervous the whole time. And then with Liam, I was still really nervous and but I kind of knew what was going on with the operation and stuff. And it's still scary because they take Willie away from me for a while so they can administer the shot and everything. And he, but then they bring him back in. But Willie, too, with our second one, they asked him if he wanted to see the baby right when they pulled him out. And he said, yeah, of course. And Willie, the doctor was going to bring the baby to the side, but Willie stood up. And so he saw like everything behind the curtain, and I don't, you know, and he almost fainted. He's like, because, you know, they see like everything, like the whole insides and stuff. And he almost fainted like right there. And they're like, no, we didn't tell you to look over. We're going to bring you the baby.
Yeah, I saw like, I don't know what it was, but it was attached to my wife and it was on like a metal tray. And it was just something you see in like a horror movie. And then there was a lot of blood, and then I saw, like, the incision, and I was like, oh, my word. And I sat down, and I was like, oh, no, what did I just see?
You know, that's like,
not normal.
I've seen the inside of your stomach. That's weird. I don't know why we're talking about that. I don't know. I guess why I know why Willie really wanted to do this StoryCorps thing, because he wants to, I know he wants to look back and be able to listen to it, and he wants our kids to hear it. And Willie's really about, he wants to be a part of a history, I guess. And so he wants other people to maybe hear it too. So I thought it was really cool that we did this.
I know all week, ever since I set this up online, I've been asking my wife, you ready for StoryCorps? Like day after day until the day showed up.
I just kept saying, I don't know what this is.
And she just kept, like, you know, ugh. It's like, what did you sign me up for?
He always is signing me up for stuff that I don't know what's going on, though, is why.
It sounds like you two have grown up together in a lot of ways. Can you tell each other in that time, you've probably seen each other in a lot of different phases. Can you tell each other why, a reason why you're proud, and tell each other? Don't tell me.
I think I can be more proud of him than anybody else because I've seen him grow even more than some, maybe like his siblings or his parents, because, you know, they're going to see the way you grew in a different light, but I've seen you grow up in my perspective. And I mean, I can remember how you were when you were 15 years old. And I don't think that a lot of couples get to say that, that they grew up together and were, you know, sweethearts. And I love that I got to see you grow up. Honestly, that's a really good question. I feel like I know you better than I ever could have known you. And I'm proud because I know how much you've changed and how much love you have for me and our kids because of all the things that you've done for us and the way you've stuck with us.
Well, I can say the same thing about you, but you were way more mature than I was at, you know, 14, because of what you went through. You went through your mom's death, and then when, you know, a couple years ago, I think it was 2014, your dad passed away out of nowhere. And so you've matured. You've always been mature, but you've definitely got a lot more life experience than I do. And you've changed in some ways, but not a lot. And 'cause you've always been the same, I guess. And I want to say that you're doing a great job with coping with your passing of your parents, and because I don't know how I would deal with that if my parents passed away. And I'm really proud to see you be a homemaker every day and just act like nothing's wrong. And I guess I get that. I get that from you because you've been, I mean, I'm, you know, the man is supposed to be the shocks on the car. You know, he's supposed to take all the hits. But I think that, you know, I mean, if it was a motorcycle, you're a shock, and, you know, I'm a shock, you know, because we're doing this together. I think marriages shouldn't just be strictly on the guy. I mean, he has his wife there for help and support. And I want to say that I'm glad you came with me to do this, because I honestly thought that you weren't going to come.
I'm going to stay in the car.
But no, I'm very proud of you, and I love you. And I can't wait to see where we're at in another 25, 30 years.
Me too. I think it's cool that we're going to be able to listen to this. Maybe we'll sound different too.
Right. Yeah. Do you think we'll show this to other people?
Maybe.
I kind of want to show it to our pastor, maybe. I hope it's
he's just gonna
it's suitable.
I love you though.
I love you too.
And I love that we can listen to this when we're older.
Me too.
Even if like one of us is gone or we're missing each other, we can listen to this and then remember. Because not everybody's gonna get, like, because we pretty much just gave the gist of our story, but it's like, when I'm gonna hear what you're saying, I'm gonna remember exactly what you're talking about and can picture it in my head, and people are gonna be like, they don't even know, but I'm gonna know.
Yeah.
And I think that's cool.